Hello and welcome to another short audio version of the service, which has been recorded for Sunday the 25th of April. I hope that you will know God's blessing and that he will be glorified during this short service. This week, whilst I am leading the service, the Reverend Victor Patterson is the speaker, who will bring God's word to us, which he kindly pre-recorded for us earlier in the week. And I would like to take this opportunity to thank him for doing so. Next week, God willing, normal service will be resumed. Let us pause now for a moment to refocus our minds by reading from God's word. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." These words remind us that regardless of our circumstances, God is someone whom we can trust wholeheartedly. He will not, indeed he cannot fail us. Otherwise, he wouldn't be God. Now let us come before Almighty God in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the knowledge that we can trust completely in you. You will not, indeed, you cannot fail us. Your promises, O Lord, are always fulfilled. Your decrees are always accomplished. Whilst the forces of evil may oppose you, they cannot overwhelm you. Whilst uncertainty may darken our horizon, you are never in the dark about events. Whilst our future is hidden from us by the veil of time, having ordained all our days before one of them came to be, it is not hidden from you. Our future is as well known to you as is our past and our present. You know the footsteps we will take and where they will lead us. Heavenly Father, your word teaches us that we are never out of your scope of vision. Not for one second do you ever lose sight of us. But not only that, O Lord, your word also teaches us that we are not just a name to you, but rather that you know our very thoughts. Therefore, O Lord, as we come before you today, you know our hearts. You know whether we are content or unsettled, whether we are happy or downhearted. You know if we are troubled, and if we are, you know the source of it. And if we are distracted, you know where our thoughts are focused. Nothing, absolutely nothing about us is hidden from you. With our limited mind, such knowledge is difficult for us to grasp, but we thank you that you do not expect us to understand you, but simply to take you at your word and trust in you. However, Lord, to our shame, very often we do not do so. Because we are limited in what we can do, we think of you in the same way. Therefore, we forget who you really are and all that you have done for us. Forgive us, we pray. This leads us to think of sin less seriously and of forgiveness as an entitlement. Forgive us, we pray. It leads us to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to, that you owe it to us to bless us in ways that we want. Forgive us, we pray. It leads us to worship ourselves or other things instead of you. Forgive us, O Lord, we pray. Lord, we recognize our sin before you now. And we ask, O Lord, that you would help us to turn from our sinful ways, to put to death our sinful nature, to humbly seek your forgiveness, and to live lives that honour you. And these things we ask, O Lord, in our Saviour's name. Amen. We're now going to hear from God's word. So if you have your Bibles at hand, can I encourage you to open them at our reading, which is taken from the book of Philippians, Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, where we will begin reading at verse 12. So that is Philippians chapter 1, and we will begin reading at verse 12. These are the words of the Apostle Paul speaking to this church in Philippi. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defence of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honoured in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labour for me. Yet, which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus, because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. And we end our reading there at verse 30, and thank God for this reading from his truth. We're going to come before God in prayer once again, this time with our prayer of intercession. So let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we have the freedom to worship you and proclaim your name, we take this opportunity now to pray for those who cannot do so. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who face opposition, hardship, and even the possibility of being killed for trusting in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. Heavenly Father, we pray that they would know your grace, comfort, courage and encouragement in their situation. We pray that those who oppose them would see the light of Christ in them and come to know Christ for themselves. We pray that the countries in which they live would be transformed by the gospel message which they currently oppose. Help us, O Lord, to be mindful of our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ, to bear them up in prayer, and to support the Christian agencies which seek to assist them. We pray for our nation, O Lord. We thank you, O Lord, for the success so far of the vaccination program, and ask that it would continue to help us to emerge from the shadow of COVID-19. As restrictions are lifted, O Lord, help us to be mindful that the vaccine is only one aspect of our battle against this virus, and that we still have a responsibility to be careful and adhere to the government guidelines. Though we are wary of the restrictions, help us to remain vigilant. Help us to be mindful so that we limit our social interactions, maintain our social distancing, wear our face masks when in closed spaces, and keep up the routine of sanitizing our hands. We remember our politicians, O Lord. We pray for them as they seek to implement the policies that will enable restrictions to be lifted, whilst also not leading to a rise in cases and hospital admissions. Grant them the wisdom and courage they need to do so. We pray for those who have lost loved ones during this pandemic and have not been able to mourn as we are accustomed to. Grant them your peace, comfort, and strength as they come to terms with their loss, O Lord. We pray for your church and ask, O Lord, that by your grace and strength, we will be enabled to live lives that honour you. May those we interact with regularly and irregularly be able to sense your presence in and influence upon us. Give us the courage to speak about you when the opportunities arise, and to stay true to you when we face opposition or rebuke for our faith in Christ. We remember also those in our fellowship and wider afield in our community known to us who are currently unwell. Heal them, we pray, Lord, and grant them along with their loved ones your comfort and reassurance at this time of anxiety. Hear this, our prayer, we pray. For it's in Christ's name that we ask these things. Amen. You're now going to hear from the Reverend Victor Patterson. And after he has finished speaking, you'll hear me once again as I close this service by saying the benediction.
Next Lord's Day, we hope to come to the Lord's table. And we know that Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that we are to examine ourselves lest we eat and drink unworthily. So this is not to be neglected. We're not to eat and drink carelessly. And I want us to consider this afresh this morning. Now, I want us to turn to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. For there Paul tells us, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, Paul has made it clear that this is the one thing that he seeks to do. He had laid aside every weight and the sin that would beset him, and he pressed towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. So whatever happens, conduct yourself in this way, in a manner worthy of the gospel. Now, the context of this passage shows that Paul is in prison and he's unsure about what's going to happen to him. He doesn't know whether he'll be set free, whether he'll be able to join with the people in Philippi again or not. But he stresses, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Now, in the authorized version, it speaks about your conversation, or in the NIV that we read, your manner of life. And the emphasis is on the manner of life, the way we live. A Christian is so to order his life that the gospel will be held in honor by those who see our everyday actions. Nothing is more of a contradiction than someone who professes to be a Christian and lives in a way that a Christian ought not to live. So we must remember that we belong to the Lord Jesus and our lives should always be influenced by him. Whatever happens, notice it is the gospel that the apostle would have us test our lives by. And we must understand what the gospel is so that we can do this. So what is the gospel? How does the gospel produce fruit in our lives? What is the fruit of the gospel? Well, let's think of four references as we consider this morning. First of all, it's the gospel of peace. Everyone who believes the gospel receives not a gospel of hatred or malice or anger. It's a gospel of peace. In Romans 10 and verse 15, Paul says there, how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So it's a gospel of peace because primarily Jesus is our peace. Through his death, our sin has been taken away and we have been reconciled to God. We have peace with God. That's a tremendous blessing. Whenever you think of that, to have peace with God, to have our sin removed as we trust in the Lord Jesus and to know that we are reconciled to God. If then through his grace we have peace, let us be makers of peace. Paul said to the Colossians, he said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The hymn writer put it, peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers, peace within. Be at peace among yourselves is so important. So the first thing as we think of the gospel and walk worthy of the gospel, it's a gospel of peace. But then secondly, it's a gospel of liberty. You remember whenever the Lord Jesus came to the countryside of Gadara, he met a wild man who was running wild in the tomb around the tombstones there. And of course, people say, well, he wasn't free. Yes, he was running wild, but he wasn't free. He was held in bondage by the devil. And the Lord Jesus cast out the demons and set him free. And only then had he true liberty. We sometimes say, out of his bondage, sorrow and night, into the glorious liberty of the new life in Christ. What a wonderful deliverance that was. It's the gospel of liberty. Charles Wesley put it so well when he said, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth and followed thee. Whenever we trust Christ, there is liberty, and we're to walk in that liberty. The world shackles men and women in despair and darkness. Constantly we hear about it. Constantly we read about it in our newspapers. We hear about those who are in bondage in sin. But in Christ, there is liberty. What a tremendous blessing that is. Let us rejoice and praise God for this liberty that we know. But then thirdly, it is the gospel of gladness. The gospel of gladness. There's no gloom or despair in the gospel. It is good news. Jesus does not bring sorrow. In Isaiah 51, we read, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Everlasting joy upon their heads. Gladness. You remember again the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. The son who had gone away, the son who had wasted his money, his father's money, and riotous living, and now he had returned and he'd come back to his father, and there's joy and there's gladness. Bring forth the best robe, we're told. Kill the fatted calf. Let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was lost and is found. What gladness. What gladness. Whenever Philip in the book of Acts went to the city of Samaria, the people took heed. There was great joy in that city. Why? Because people had come to trust in Christ. And that is the thing about the gospel. When we trust in the Lord Jesus, there is gladness. There is joy. You know, John Bunyan's great classic, The Pilgrim's Progress, he writes at one point in the story where the Christian arrives at the foot of the cross. And we read this. He stood gazing at the cross, wondering how the sight of the cross could so relieve one of guilt and shame. He knew all his sins had been paid for by the death of the one who died on that cross. They were gone. He was so thankful and so full of joy that tears began to flow. He leapt for joy and went on his way singing. That's gladness, you see. That's joy. That's the gladness that the Lord Jesus gives to all his people. Paul and Silas, and even in prison, sang praises to God. What a wonderful privilege it is to know, what a joy it is to know this wonderful gladness in our hearts and lives. But then fourthly, the gospel is also a gospel of light, a gospel of light. The gospel is not one of deceit and lies. Men love darkness if their deeds are evil. But Jesus is the light of the world. Those who follow him shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So many today, as I've said, are in darkness and bondage, but not those who belong to Christ. All who belong to Christ, all who have trusted Christ, then their eyes have been opened. Their desire is to turn away from sin. Jesus came to open blind eyes so that we would walk in the true light. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 8, Peter wrote, we read that the Christians are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you from darkness to light. Called you from darkness to light. That's the wonderful blessing that is ours. Philippians chapter 2. Paul says, shine like stars in the universe. Shine, the gospel of light. You remember years ago in Sunday school, I don't suppose this sung very much now, but we used to sing, in this world of darkness, so let us shine, you in your small corner, and I in mine. The gospel of light. Walk worthy of the gospel of light, not in despair, not in darkness, not in deceit, but the gospel of light. But then fifthly, the gospel is the gospel of holiness. You see, Jesus came to take away our sin. This is we must always remember, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. Unto him who has loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The gospel is about deliverance from sin. Now, Paul desires that our conversation, our manner of living, should be worthy of that gospel, worthy of the gospel of holiness. You see, a professing Christian who does not seek to live to please his Lord is a contradiction. If someone professes to be a Christian and does not desire to please his Lord, then that sadly it cannot be. How can we say, Lord, Lord, and not walk in his way? In Hebrews 12 we read, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now somebody will say, but look, no one is holy except God. That is right. But whenever we trust Christ, then his righteousness becomes ours. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds and these are red, with joy shall I lift up my head. We must walk worthy of the gospel of holiness. So let's finally just think of this in conclusion. We have thought concerning our walk worthy of the gospel of peace, liberty, gladness, light, and holiness. It's the gospel of Christ. It's the gospel of Christ. And that's something that we need to always remember. The gospel is always about him, about his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his coming again. We're to order our lives and then to please him, that our minds might indeed be filled with a desire to walk in his way. You see, a Christian is a citizen of two countries. We're to be good citizens of this our own country, and it's sad whenever a Christian walks in a way that's not that does not bring glory to the Lord Jesus. But we must also remember we are citizens of heaven. In Philippians 3 and verse 20, Paul goes on to say, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there. We eagerly wait a Savior from there. So as you come to the Lord's table, as we've come to the Lord's table, is your manner of life bringing glory to the Lord? Are you walking worthy of the gospel? Are you walking worthy of the gospel? Let a man examine himself. Let him walk worthy of the gospel of the Lord Jesus.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all forevermore. Amen.